Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Toohey down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we're talking again with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy, only this time about fishing on Lake Superior. And then lastly, we've got some great fishing tips for you from Walleye Tournament Pro Keith Cavias. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get out and hit the trails with the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports. Hurry in for rebates up to $2,000 on the last few remaining 2018s. Meanwhile, the 2019 Polaris snowmobile lineup offers a 2-year limited warranty on select models and financing as low as 3.99%. Plus, if you have young riders, check out the Polaris Indy Evo, the trail-ready sled built specifically to transform new riders into confident riders, starting at just $52.99. Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle and help co-host today. We've got Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Toohey. And good morning, Eric.
Good morning, John.
Looks like we got some snow out there, a lot of snow.
Yeah, you could say that. With the amount of snow now on our lakes, it'll bring some interesting factors into traveling and getting onto certain areas and certain spots.
I've heard reports already of some slush out there, too.
Yeah, I think we all kind of knew it was going to come eventually. Our first snowfall, you know, was really nice and powdery. It made travel really actually quite easy, and we weren't seeing a whole lot of slush. But now that we've doubled down on it, I think we're going to definitely have some slush issues out there.
I know even breaking trail with a snowmobile out there is kind of tough. I heard somebody told me about somebody getting stuck with a tracked UTV. So that's a lot of snow.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had some windy days here as well, and that wind is blowing that snow. And, you know, if you get a snow drift, yeah, it's going to be that much deeper. So it might be a little more difficult on the machines to get around. But I think with some of this warmer weather, though, will help settle down that snow and pack it a little bit. And then say even if we can get a little bit of a cool down, too, that, I mean, it should improve, truly. Yeah,
bring your extension, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Bring your extension for your augers if you haven't stopped in at the bait shop, because we got a few on hand.
What have you been hearing as far as the fishing? You know, we're looking at here as we're recording this, was it March 3rd game fish season closes this year, I believe?
Yep, so that's around the corner here coming up, but we still got some time left to go out and chase walleyes and northern pike. You know, this time of the year, as some may know, it's kind of a panfish game, but guys are fishing walleyes, and it's a little bit of a roller coaster for some, but our panfish fishing has been holding quite well. Mostly, from what I've noticed, has been held consistently a morning bite and tapering through into the afternoon. We're still picking up some fish and just a little quieter in the evenings. And that might just be dependent on the lake, too. So
you've mostly been for the panfish, the crappies, bluegills, and perch. It's been the main basin yet?
Yeah, so still fishing main deep basins. You know, I'm kind of looking more in that 30 to 35 feet of water, and typically finding my crappies about 18 to 20 feet suspended. So
yeah, actually you're better off to, that's a good tip for people too, is that if you're after the crappies, if you're finding them out there in 30 feet in the bottom, you're not going to be releasing a lot of those fish. They're hard to release at that point. If you can get them in that 18, 20 foot suspended, they're going to be pretty good. If you don't want to keep them, you can put them back.
Yeah, and you still, you know, if you feel like it might be a smaller fish, you know, just reel them up a little slower, take your time with it. But absolutely, just, you know, subject yourself to fishing a little bit shallower than, say, 42 feet of water and ripping them out of 38 feet of water and reeling up as fast as you can, because they just will not survive.
How about the northern pike fishing out there? That usually stays pretty good through the winter.
Yeah, so it definitely kind of heats up too as we kind of encroach the season capper. But, you know, options on that, I would be fishing 6 to 12 feet of water. Again, if I'm out in that 30-foot basin, don't be bashful of hanging one, you know, a couple feet below the ice, because sometimes Mr. Pike comes through and you see your Vexilar clear out, and be ready with that tip up because they're usually close by. So shiners, large shiners and northern suckers are still a viable option. Another route to go is even dead bait, you know, whether it's herring, Cisco, or even smelt. In the spring, I'll save a few smelt from the guys that, you know, pick them up and salt them and get them ready. And kind of this time of the year is when I start using them.
The pike are kind of scavengers. They'll eat dead stuff off the bottom when it's readily available.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's something that's, you know, oily and, you know, that's down there that they definitely sniff out. But as we were to say truly be encroaching towards the spring, our ice on the bottom layer might start slowly deteriorating where we actually have bait fish dying off. So these fish are kind of known and prone for that. So as soon as we can do that before that season capper, usually you can have some good bites on dead bait.
You know, a few things coming up too I should talk about here. You got the Wisconsin Muskie Expo down in the Wausau area, or it'd be at Rothschild. That'll be March 2nd to the 4th. And then there's a couple ice fishing contests. I know Deerfoot has a women's ice fishing contest 8th to 10th of March coming up. And then there's an Eau Claire Sports Show that'll be March 15th to the 17th. So there's still quite a few things going on yet, even as the winter starts to start getting toward the end of the winter here, hopefully.
Yeah. And, I mean, those shows are great. I mean, if you're thinking about just maybe new items to add to your arsenal for the summertime season, and get out, enjoy them, you know, sign up for a few seminars, and maybe, you know, pick up a few techniques and tactics for this upcoming 2019 open water season.
You know, Eric, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our sponsors. And the next part of the show, we've got Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy again, but this time we're talking about Lake Superior fishing. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Hayward area is a snowmobiler's haven with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, find Hayward Power Sports. We're open 7 days a week because the weekends are when you count on us the most. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service department. With the most up-to-date computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with well over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out our Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and HJC helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www. WISCNorthlandOutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, I know you spent some time up on that big lake. That's some of our first open water fishing that usually happens on the big lake up there.
Absolutely. And if guys are chomping at the bit, wanting to get out and, you know, maybe play in the new boat and do some trolling or what have you, it's a good opportunity to get up there.
You know, and not just not overlook the fly fishing and the streams and stuff. That's even before that.
Yeah, so we do have some seasons that will become becoming available for anglers. We'll have some steelhead fishing. So you're fishing for fish that have wintered in the river. But then as we start to see some of our thaws, maybe some of our spring rains, that fresh water, that's going to start driving more fish from the lake to run up the rivers and for them to go into spawn mode.
You know, one of the guys that spent a lot of time up there on that lake, North Shore, South Shore, is Tim Duffy, fishing guide Tim Duffy. And I had a chance to talk to him about that. He offers some real good tips on that here. So let's hear that interview. Well, Tim, you know, last week we talked about a little bit about open water stuff coming up. And one of the things I know that you've done for quite a few years now is you get up on Lake Superior up there, and one of the places at North Shore, and then you fish at the Shawamigan Bay and places. And, you know, there's a pretty good fishing up there for some of the trout species. Let's start with the North Shore.
Well, the North Shore, there's a lot of really good fishing up there. You know, a lot of it is, what I would go for would be the steelhead and the loopers. And the looper, I'm not sure what the cost of that is. It's a steelhead and something else.
Kamloops trout is what it is.
Yeah, right? And what they did was they put those in there, so they were trying to rebuild the steelhead population. And so basically, I think steelhead was catch and release for a while, and then I think you can keep one, but it's a certain size limit. But they planted the loopers in there so that the natural steelhead would you know, come back stronger than what they were. And the loopers, that's a planted fish, and I don't think they reproduce. So you're allowed three of those, which people were, you know, happy to take three of those and put the steelhead back into the waters. And they're actually a little bit fatter, and they seem to get a little bit bigger than the regular steelhead. But it was dynamite. And what they would do is when the fish would swim into on the French River, there's a hatchery there. I think it's the
hatchery's right there. They raise them.
Yep. So what happened was the fish would swim into the hatchery, and I don't think they take the eggs out of them, but they'd swim into the hatchery naturally. And then what they do is they'd load the trucks up and drive down the shore and dump them back in the water. And they keep doing this over and over again so people would have more chances to catch those fish, because I think they eventually just die, you know, at the end of their life cycle. So what it, you know, here, if you get one shot, once they swim up the river and they're done, but they would actually keep driving the hatchery trucks down and putting those same fish that swam in the river back into the lake 2-3 different times. And so you had a really good opportunity to catch, you know, some really nice fish up there.
Well, that's on the North Shore. That's Minnesota water there, and you have to have a Minnesota license. You have to have any special stamps or anything?
Yeah, I think you had to get a trout stamp, and the license wasn't that expensive. I used to buy it. They sell a 1-day, 2-day, something like that, but I used to just buy an annual one. And it wasn't that expensive, just because I went up there quite a bit and fished. And you could actually start fishing like this time of year, you know, if there's open water up there. You just have to kind of watch where the ice flows are going and stuff like that. But it seems like as far as you can go, you're going to hit some open water eventually. But very good fishing. Water is crystal clear. I used to use a 9-foot light action rod, spinning reel, and then very light line, because the water is crystal clear. So I'd use 4-pound test on that long rod, and little bitty jigs, like little tungsten jigs, little plastics, spawn sacks. You could get some casting lures. I've caught them on all different types of things, but a lot of the fish were, you know, on small. You know, bug type, tungsten, those tiny jig types things.
Well, a lot of the shoreline's totally different up there on the North Shore versus up in Ashland or along that South Shore too. It's deeper, quicker, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can fish right from shore, because I remember one time I was up there and there's a lot of rocks and stuff, and the waves have splashed up on the rocks. And so I'm fishing off this rock, and I start sliding, and I thought, oh gosh, and I caught myself, but off the end of that rock, you're in like 20 feet of water. So it would have been disastrous, but it's kind of slippery too. So Yeah, but there's some very good spots. I know there's a bunch of little feeder creeks that come in there, you know, along that. Even if there's just a culvert with running water, I remember catching those loopers out of spots like that. I remember the first one I ever caught was I actually walked out on the pack ice and I was casting a countdown rapala and caught my first one. So, I mean, they're really nice fish. They're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds.
It's a little different fishing on the South Shore. You know, we talked about fishing. I don't want the place a lot of guys go as a hot pond, but you fished a lot of them also streams up, going up toward Bayfield and up that way too, right?
Yeah, I did. I fished them in the open water. I fished them on the ice, and then I fished them, you know, at the streams and stuff when the water starts to open up. You know, because once the ice is not good, you got to, you know, switch gears and you know, I've taken canoes up there, pull them over the ice, and then get to the open water. You name it, I've done it up there. But yeah, so I think the water's just a little bit dirtier. Not yeah. dirty, but just, it's
stained.
Stained. And then if you get some runoff, and especially when you get into between like Ashland, that's really some really dark water. But you get some, I mean, right in Ashland, I've caught lake trout, I've caught big brown trout, I've caught the whitefish, I've caught lawyer, I've caught everything, walleyes, northerns, I mean, you name it, they got it up there. And in a given day, you could catch a walleye and then the next fish be a brown trout. And the brown trout are very big too. So, I mean, a lot of different, and Ashland and Washburn, I liked fishing in there just because there was a lot of access. And you in this areas where the ice is going to be a little bit thicker, you know, yeah. because it's not moving around like up by the islands.
Well, you know, and once we start getting closer to spring, I mean, we're talking right now places that you can get in and fish from shore a lot or without having a big boat. But, you know, once we get a little closer to spring, that's one of the favorite areas up there in that South Shore is where a lot of the guys from around here that know about it, they go up there and they troll, and that trolling bite is really good up there.
You can troll. I know I used to get kind of upset because they're just like in the hot pond. Guys would put the big boats in there and there's only so much open water, but it's still kind of clear and the fish are really spooky. So you get a big outboard in there driving around and it's surrounded by ice. They're pretty spooky, especially when they get in the shallow water. So, you know, you do what you have to do. If I could get away from the people and fish from shore, it's easier. You don't have to pull a boat. Guys use float tubes, little kayaks, your Hobie, things like that. Or what the guys would do is make those weighted bobbers on a 9-foot rod with light line. You can throw that thing so far. And get it out there to where you want to get it and still catch fish.
Well, you know, one of the big mistakes guys make trolling too is they'll catch one or two fish in an area and they keep going down that shoreline. But now, you know, one of the things we've got the GPS units like our Hummingbirds with the GPS built in. You catch some fish, hit mark a waypoint because you got fish there and you can go back and pick those areas apart.
Well, and you know, I used to be the first guy up there. As soon as that ice left Shawamigan Bay, I'd have my boat and I'd be, you know, camping up there for a week or so. And, you know, the big boats couldn't get, they got so many lines out that they could get in kind of close, but they can't get in really close. And a lot of those fish would be right off the shorelines. And so what I would do is if we made a pass and we caught a couple fish, I'd spin that thing around on a dime and go right back and forth and catch all the fish out of that spot where the big boats couldn't do that. They had to keep going down. They just kept going. And a lot of times those fish would hang in pretty tight areas. You know, maybe it's an eddy where there's some warmer water. Maybe the bait's there. Maybe the food's there. But they pack up in certain spots. And so, yeah, back and forth as fast as I could and catch as many as possible, you know, where the other guys just kept going, you know.
In that trick, I mentioned about marking your waypoint, that works for walleyes or anything else. If you're trolling and you hit some fish, and you can go back to that exact waypoint, and you can actually try casting for them at that point.
Or follow your tracks. Yeah. You know, either way, you can get exactly to those spots. But yeah, actually, casting, everybody likes to troll. I love the casting, especially for the big brown trout. They're very spooky. So what I'd do is I'd watch where they'd be breaking the water and stuff, and then go in there and cast for them. And man, you talk about a fight when they hit the just casting the line out there. It was a blast. But different species, they're, you know, and especially in the shallow water, they're spooky. And so casting is much better than driving a motor back and forth through there, and you know, have them see the shadow of the boats, whatever. Casting is a nicer way to get in there. Plus, it's funner to catch them that way, I think.
You know, and that's going to be one of the very first places to find some really good fishing here early in the season. And the good part is that you can go up there walleye fishing or anything else because the season doesn't close up there.
And big northerns. I mean, perch fishing, even crappies, rock bass, everything. You name it, they got it up there.
Tim, interesting information. You want to give out some guide information? Somebody's looking for a guide for the this spring?
Yeah, they can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, John.
Well, it was interesting. You know, we do need to take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors again here, Eric. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after our messages.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Bunny propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and, of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check and Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and fishing guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, we talk about a lot of different things on this show, and one of the things that is that you got to find the fish before you can catch them. I mean, you can go out there and just throw a line anywhere, but if you can find the fish, you can usually catch them.
Yeah, there's little techniques and tactics to, you know, up the odds, and sometimes it's time of the year or just how we present it to them. But, yeah, you got to find the fish.
Yeah, and electronics and nowadays and mapping play a big part in that. I had a chance to talk to Keith Cavias, who's a big pro tournament walleye angler, won a lot of money doing that. Let's hear that short interview with him. And we come back, we'll have a wrap-up on the show. Keith, I know you guys have won a lot of walleye tournaments. A lot of the fishing you do is trolling, but you also fish with jigs and other baits, too.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you look for those walleyes out there when the depth finder, a lot of times you're looking for fish, right?
I absolutely am looking for fish. Even if I'm trolling or anything, I'm, you know, if I'm not seeing fish on my fish finder, I don't fish there. And I'll say the only exception to that might be if the fish are extremely shallow. 3, 4, 5, maybe 8 feet of water, and it's clear water. You know, obviously you're going to spook a fish if you run your boat over that. But anything else, first of all, I look for the fish with my depth finder. I don't even really start fishing, and that's for trolling, jigging, or anything. I want to see something down there that looks like fish or looks like bait or something that the fish might be holding on before I even start to fish. Because no matter, you know, what I talk about, whether it's a hot lure or a technique or a way to, you know, hold your mouth or whatever it is, anything I tell you about fishing isn't going to work if fish aren't down there. So you always want to look for fish first. Then secondly, if you're fishing especially a little bit deeper, say 15, 20 foot deep, when you mark a fish, fish for that fish. And, you know, I see a lot of people that are graphing down the shoreline. Oh, we marked some fish. They graph quite a ways down the shoreline, and then they, oh, we should set up and go down this shoreline. Well, instead of going down the whole shoreline, go right where those fish were. If you mark them, many times them fish will be there for a little while, and then they'll swim off. So the quicker you can get back to where you marked them, the better it is. And a lot of the new depth finders are great at this because you have GPS incorporated right into the fish finders. So for example, on my Lowrance units, if I mark a fish, a nice arc on my screen, I can scroll back with either with a touch screen with my finger or with the arrow on the side of the unit. I can scroll back to that fish, put the cursor on the fish, hit a waypoint, save a waypoint right on that fish, so that then I can move my boat back around and either drag right over that waypoint if I'm doing something like bottom bouncers or crankbaits, or if I'm jigging, move just outside of that waypoint and actually throw to those individual fish. So it's kind of like hunting, you know. Maybe you're glassing them at first or spotting them at first, but once you spot them, you should be fishing for those individual fish.
I notice that sometimes if you got fish that are hugging the bottom real close, you don't get really what you kind of expect, that classic picture that you expect to see a fish. You'll sometimes just see little humps on the bottom and stuff, and you got to kind of learn to interpret that stuff, I think.
Yeah, you really do have to learn to interpret your screen, and one thing that you always want to look for is separation, of course. Even if it's a, you know, if you see a little bump on the bottom, and like with a better unit, if you see that bump and there's just a little thin line below that bump between the bottom and that bump, that separation tells you automatically it's a fish. But you also have to learn that maybe sometimes those fish are so tight to the bottom, all they look like is bumps.
Yeah.
And so sometimes fishing bumps is a good thing. Now, one thing I have learned over the years is I like to carry an underwater camera with me. And the main reason is if I see those bumps and I fish through them and I don't catch them, I like to go back through and just verify in my mind, oh, those are fish sitting there, or those are actually rocks or something down on the bottom making a bump that aren't fish. And so that's where a camera can be very, very good. It can actually teach you what's going on below the water. Then you can shortcut it by learning how that actually looks on your depth finder. So, yeah, bumps on the bottom. I've caught a lot of them, but I've also fished for a lot of rocks.
Yeah, interesting. You know, the equipment can show you a lot, but it's not 100% not yet.
Oh, no. Everything is, you know, and even if they are fish down there, that doesn't mean that they're going to bite, or if they're fish, they're walleyes, you know. So the equipment is great. You'll see what's down there. You know, there's a lot of now structure scanning stuff, side scanning stuff, down scanning stuff that show you even more precise pictures. But when it comes down to it, even if there are fish down there and that depth finder marks it, you still got to be skillful enough to fool those fish to bite and get them in the boat.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Well, you know, he's completely right. Most of us now are getting to that where we're using that electronics, and it does make a huge difference. People think it doesn't make a difference, some of the guys, yet, but it does. Learning how to use that stuff and where to look for the fish, and the mapping nowadays, the mapping is just tremendous out there.
Yeah, I mean, it could be as simple as having something on your cell phone, like an app. It could be utilizing your summertime electronics, using your GPS with the mapping on there too. I mean, there's a lot of great options out there that are going to up your odds and get you, you know, having some fun with a bent rod more often than not.
And, you know, you can do research too. This is a good time of year when we can do research and try to plan on some new spots. And don't go to the same lake all the time. You know, we got a lot of water up here, little water, rivers, and some of the bigger lakes. And, you know, one of the good sources for that is the DNR. The DNR, actually, a lot of people don't know this, but if you go on the DNR website, Wisconsin DNR website, they actually have a database with lake maps of almost every lake in the state on there.
Absolutely. And if there's one that you may just even want a little more information on, you know, shoot an email to your fish biologist, and by gosh, you're going to have some great information leading into that open water season.
Well, I know these lake maps too, they break down by species, what's common in the lake and what's present in the lake. And they're not the greatest lake maps. The old DNR maps are nothing compared to what we see now from Lake Master on the hummingbirds and stuff, where we got the high definition. But at least it gives you a start.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes if it's not available through Navionics or even through Lake Master, sometimes that might actually be your only option, is an old DNR map from the 1930s or something like that. So,
well, you get out there with a new hummingbird, for instance, and an auto chart, you can actually create your own map too.
Well, yes. Once you got that at your fingertips and you get your boat in there, absolutely. Then you got your very own customized map.
You bet. Eric's been interesting talking to you here. I know that you've got information for your guide business down here at Hayward Bait. I do. You're in Hayward Bait here a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. But if anyone would like to reach me and get on the open water this 2019 season, they can give me a call at 612-384-9127.
And folks, we're out of time for this week's show. I want to remind you that if you miss a show, it will be up on our podcast site. You can get to that from our website at wnoradio.net and click through to our podcast site. There's a lot of interesting information up there, including a fishery report from the Hayward Visitor and Convention Bureau. We're out of time for this week, and we'll see you again next week with another interesting show.
Way up in the Northland where the recreation's great. So sit back, relax, kick off your shoes, sink in your easy chair. Come on along, listen with me. I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.